From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue his series in the book of Joshua by returning to verse 1 of chapter 13. Now an old man, Joshua has fulfilled his commission to conquer the land of Canaan. His work was done. Yet the Lord said to him, "There remaineth very much land to be possessed." This was the task of the children of Israel. In applying this historical account to the present day, Dr. Cairns points to the New Testament equivalent. In the Gospels, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption on the cross. The book of Acts underscores the unfinished work of the church to reach the world with the gospel. We'll see, first of all, that the Christian life is meant to be progress toward an ever fuller enjoyment of all that we have in Christ. God's people are to possess their possessions. Needless to say, in order to achieve this, one must first be a Christian through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, Unfinished Business. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 33 and verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. Perhaps no figure of speech represents God in a more gracious light than when He is spoken of as stooping from His throne and coming down from heaven to attend to the wants and to behold the woes of mankind. We love Him who, when Sodom and Gomorrah were full of iniquity, would not destroy those cities until He had made a personal visitation of them. We cannot help pouring out our heart in affection for our Lord, who inclines His ear from the highest glory and puts it to the lip of the dying sinner whose failing heart longs after reconciliation. How can we but love Him when we know that He numbers the very hairs of our heads, marks our path, and orders our ways? Especially is this great truth brought near to our heart when we recollect how attentive He is, not merely to the temporal interests of His creatures, but to their spiritual concerns. Though leagues of distance lie between the finite creature and the infinite Creator, yet there are links uniting both. When a tear is wept by thee, think not that God doth not behold. For like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Thy sigh is able to move the heart of Jehovah. Thy whisper can incline His ear unto thee. Thy prayer can stay His hand. Thy faith can move His arm. Think not that God sits on high, taking no account of thee. Remember that however poor and needy thou art, yet the Lord thinketh upon thee. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Oh, then repeat the truth that never tires. No God is like the God my soul desires. He at whose voice heaven trembles, even He, great as He is, knows how to stoop to me.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family or friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Joshua 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Today I want us to progress beyond the first part of the text which has engaged our attention a time or two. I want us just to stress this challenging statement at the end of the verse. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. The clear message of that text, both to Joshua and to the children of Israel, was that Israel had a lot of unfinished business to look after. Joshua had conquered the land and had established Israel in it. It was theirs, and no one could ever reverse that. But there were still many pockets of resistance left in the land. Joshua's battle was over. He would not again be called to war. Joshua's work was finished, but Israel's work was only beginning. Theirs was to be a never-ending battle until the Lord had given them all their promised possession, and He had led them into the uncontested enjoyment of what He had covenanted to their fathers and to them. Remember the words that we read some time ago from Exodus 23, verse 30? When in the days of Moses the Lord looked forward to the conquest of the land, He said, By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. That was the promise. So now there came the time when Joshua, reaching far into old age, laid aside his weapons, began to distribute the land to the people, telling them, in effect, I have laid hold of the land for you. I give you the title deed to the land. But there is resistance, there is resistance, there is resistance. You must go and overcome. That was the message. Now all this has a very obvious New Testament counterpart. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they speak to you about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as to its historical enactment. The Gospels end with the finished work of Jesus Christ. John 19:30 sums up the entire message and meaning of the Gospel. Jesus on the cross cried, It is finished. The Gospels end with the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Acts, however, begins with the unfinished work of the church. That work which the ascending Christ handed over to His church, and He told them to set about it until they reached the ends of the earth with the gospel of His grace. Now that work commenced in the book of Acts, but not finished in the book of Acts, is unfinished to this very day. And that means that the text that we have read this morning continues to have a very important message for us. To the children of Israel, these words presented both a challenge and a promise. The message to them was that they could, if they would, possess their possessions. The land is before you. If you will enter in, you may enter in. It's yours if you will take it. That was the clear meaning of the text through Joshua to the children of Israel. And the same is true of God's people today. The message of this text is for us both a challenge and a promise. God sets before us the land of His provision, and He tells us that it is ours to take if we will have it. So I want us today to think upon the important but very simple and straightforward subject of possessing our possessions. If you look at the text, you'll find it does two crucial things. First, it establishes our rights. God's people have certain God-given rights. Rights as to how they may live their personal life. Rights as to how they may enjoy success in service. God has set before His people in passage after passage after passage the things that He gives them by covenant right. But this text also explains our responsibility. We may sit back and say we have all the promises, we have all the rights, and we're just sitting back waiting for them to come to pass. We will find they will never come to pass, at least for us. I want you to understand that the sovereignty of God does not lead us to the fallacy of fatalism. The sovereignty of God is a doctrine that induces responsibility and responsible action. These people who imagine that under the guise of believing in God's eternal sovereignty, they just sit back, they pray none, they serve none, they do nothing, and then say, well, it's just in the sovereignty of God whether we succeed in the work or not. Those people are blaspheming God. Those people are certainly, to put it lightly, they're living out a travesty of the truth. Because when God gives by sovereign disposition certain rights and promises to His people, He also explains to His people their responsibility to enter into those things. Now these two ideas of our rights and our responsibilities will apply generally to the two great areas of our experience. That is the area of sanctification and the area of service. When you think of those two areas, you may say there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. That's true in the area of personal holiness and personal development in Christ. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. It's true in the area of our personal and our corporate service. When you think of the task that the Savior has given His people of preaching the gospel, you will understand there yet remains a great deal of land to be possessed. Now, with this in mind, let us take seriously what the Savior through this text is telling us, that we should be possessing our possessions. Let me remark first and foremost that the Christian life is meant to be a progress to ever fuller enjoyment of all we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is intended by God to be a progress toward ever fuller enjoyment of all we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start at rock bottom. What is Christianity? It is Christ. What is the Christian life? It is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is the great truth of our personal saving union with Christ. It is essentially the story of God's justification of the ungodly by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ with all the blessings that flow therefrom. It is, to put it differently, the unfolding of the covenant of grace in which, by the merits of Christ, God has given to His people all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is the Christian life. Now, I know that others will define the Christian life differently. They'll define it first in terms of action. But I want you to know this, that you cannot do until first of all you are. Now let me stop there. You cannot live the life of a Christian until first of all you are a Christian. Christianity is not simply joining a church, getting baptized, reading the Bible, saying prayers, believing a code of doctrine, and living out a code of ethics. It includes all those things. But essentially, Christianity is being in Christ. It is to be saved by personal faith in the living Christ, He who died and rose again, who made an atonement for our sins, reconciling our souls unto God, and purchased our eternal redemption. By faith in Christ, we are justified. By faith in Christ, we are saved. By faith in Christ, we enter into all the benefits and all the blessings of the covenant of grace. Now, that is fundamentally what the Christian life is all about. That will lead to plenty of doing, as we'll see in a moment. But never make the mistake of starting your definition of being a Christian in terms of doing. Define it in terms of personal relationship with Christ. If you're in Christ, you're saved. He who hath the Son hath life. If you're out of Christ, whatever you do, you are unsaved. Behold every man and woman amongst us today to find out where he or she stands in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ is to be without God. It is to be without hope. Without Christ is to be dead in trespasses and sins. Without Christ, my friend, is to have the stamp of judgment upon your brow. Certainty of death within your soul. But to be in Christ, to be in Christ, is to be saved with eternal salvation, to be covered by the blood of His atonement, to be accepted on the merits of His righteousness, and clothed in the garments of His salvation. That fundamentally is what the Christian life is all about. And everything else flows from that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.